The date is February the 13th, 1938, and the young youth worker named Eric Nash is speaking to a small group of teenagers. He is speaking on the text in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, where Pilate asks, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" Eric Nash is quietly but powerfully insisting to the boys that everybody has to do something about Jesus, that nobody can remain neutral. Either we copy Pilate and weakly reject him, or we accept him and follow him. Well, that night, a 17-year-old boy who had been listening later kneels beside his bed and opens the door of his life to Jesus. It looks weak and apparently insignificant. A 17-year-old, having heard a talk on one text, gets out of his bed and kneels and prays. It couldn't appear more insignificant. But in 2005, Time magazine, drawing up a list of who it considered to be the 100 most influential individuals, named that schoolboy next to Bill Gates. His name was the late, great Anglican evangelical preacher, teacher and author, John Stott. It wrote the following: "I cannot think of anyone who has been more effective in introducing so many people to a biblical worldview. He represents the touchstone of authentic biblical scholarship, which in my opinion has scarcely been paralleled since the days of the 16th century reformers." What a contrast. A small 17-year-old boy kneels behind his bed, and a worldwide influence is impacted. It begins small and insignificant, but the conclusion is massive, unimaginable. But of course, the end is only reached by the beginning. It may be the most pathetic and insignificant start from a human perspective, a mere pinprick. The seed of the word is shared and sown. But from this beginning, the end is reached. We need to see the picture of the growing plant which Jesus spoke about in relationship to the previous verses when he said, "The kingdom of God is like someone who would scatter seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." We see here that the seed that the farmer sows possesses its own creative power to germinate and bear fruit, all by itself. The soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear, through the seed's own power. So whether the farmer, Jesus says, sleeps or gets up, whether he understands all the science and biology behind plant growth, whether he does so or not, the seed still sprouts and grows, all by itself. Of course, it may appear to our eyes that nothing is happening, but all the time the seed is quietly working to produce a harvest. It's interesting that the Greek word in the Greek, which is translated "all by itself," is automatos, from which we get automatic. It carries the notion or the idea of self-acting without visible cause. You see, we can't make the seed grow. There are many aspects of its growth that we may understand or may perplex us and which we cannot explain. But nevertheless, what we read here is an organic growth takes place that explodes underground and eventually produces a massive growth above ground. It leads from a tiny mustard seed to a large shrub. And you know, in this picture, I think we hear an echo of Isaiah's word there in Isaiah 55 and verse 10. When Isaiah says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what it desires and achieve the purpose for which I send it." Isn't that marvellous? Just as the seed germinates out of sight, so the seed of the gospel begins to develop before it can be seen. Tiny beginnings, but innumerable and immense conclusions. You know, it was Martin Luther who said, "After I preach my sermon on Sunday, I return home, drink my little glass of Wittenberg beer, and let the gospel run its course. Lord, I've opened your word. I've taught your word. I leave it with you. I've thrown a few seeds on the ground. It's now in your hands. I have planted a few seeds, and I will wait to see it grow." The issue here, of course, is that the farmer has to be patient. He has to wait for the seed to grow and germinate. He has sown the seed in his field, but then he's got to trust that it is growing. Yes, of course, he has to plough and he has to sow. And the same is true as we seek to proclaim the word in our day. There's a delay while the tiny little mustard seed germinates and grows into a large plant. It's a mystery. There's a degree of hiddenness. Culturally, this can be very hard and challenging for us, can't it? Because the results are not instant, and that's hard to bear in a culture which demands instant responses, instant news, instant information, instant food. It was the great missionary Hudson Taylor who said that the three qualifications required for those sowing the gospel seed was patience, patience, patience. You see, the secret growth of the seed is not in our hands. When the seed of the word has been sown, we have to trust the divine promise. We have to trust that the seed is at work, that it's doing its work. Where do you think the power is? Where is the power? I can so easily lose my nerve, but we mustn't. Week by week, we share the word. We open the word. We preach the word. But then we must patiently wait. Patiently wait. You know, the other day, I noticed a farmer ploughing his field and sowing his crop. And as I passed the field a few weeks later, nothing seemed to have changed, except for the fact that the seagulls were no longer following the plough. The soil looked just as bare as when this farmer went to work. So was he wasting his time? Has his crop failed? Of course not. It just takes time, more time than we would like. Farmers, of course, are used to living with the rhythms of the seasons. Unfortunately, our frantic modern society, which wants every fruit and vegetable to be accessible today and flies them in from thousands of miles around the globe, finds it difficult to wait. But it's all the more important that we who follow Jesus should learn and practice it. And of course, what applies to the individual experience is also true of the global harvest. It was James in James 5 and verse 7 and 8 who said, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rain. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. How could we have been so foolish to doubt it? How could we think that just because it's later than we wanted or hoped, that it might mean that it was never happening at all? Every generation has had to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would come. And so far, every generation has had to learn the lesson of patience. Indeed, the command to be patient is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Jewish people, after all, had to wrestle with the same challenge. For thousands of years, they lived through those long centuries when they wanted the Messiah to come and sort everything out. So that some of them had even begun to believe that the promise would never be fulfilled. Let's not imagine that God's timescales are our timescales. Think of it like the farmer. And so this morning, as we come to the beginning of a new year, and as we set out on another year of sowing, of sharing, of preaching the word, let's remember the gift of God who gives the seed, an insignificant beginning, but what will have unimaginable conclusions. Let's continue to spread the word, share the word, preach the word, but let us wait patiently for the divine power of the word to work its miracle of growth in people's lives. And on a global scale, we need to think of the words of the apostle in Hebrews 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry, and the harvest of the earth will be reaped. And what a harvest it will be.